Kingdom Power Systems. The motive must be right. The intent must be sponsoring God's intent. So you don't stop at being blessed. You go on to be a blessing. Because being a blessing is the essence of blessing. It's a life spiritual. You can't live your life to time and chance. It's dangerous. Let me tell you something. This gospel is not a joke. We have invisible powers that work with us. Understand the kingdom passes. When power hits the floor, the people are weak.
Amen. Kingdom Power Systems. Amen. Kingdom Power Systems. Hallelujah. This will be part 3. Amen. 2 weeks ago, that is the start of this month, Senior Pastor started sharing on the Kingdom Power System. And Pastor spoke about revelation knowledge as one of the systems. Last Sunday, he spoke about prophecy. Hallelujah. How many of you have been blessed so far by the series? Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, Pastor said something. He said, you cannot fulfill God's calling for your life without a perfect understanding of this kingdom power system. You cannot fulfill your destiny without engaging in this kingdom power system. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you know that God will not give you a vision that will not require him to fulfill it? You understand what I mean? Meaning he won't give you a vision that will exclude him. Hallelujah. And that's how you know if a vision is from God or not. Look at what God is telling you to do. Does it require God or not? If it doesn't, it's your ambition. Hallelujah. If it doesn't require supernatural power, it means you can fulfill it with your human ability, with your human strength. Hallelujah. So we're saying we must have perfect understanding of these kingdom power systems and how to engage it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So today we'll be talking about kingdom service. Hallelujah. As one of the kingdom power system. Glory to God. Kingdom service. Kingdom service. Kingdom service. I want you to make up your mind to have a perfect understanding of what these kingdom power systems are and how to engage them. How to engage them. Every believer has been called to fulfill the Great Commission. Tell your neighbor you've been called. Tell your neighbor you have a calling. Hallelujah. So how do you want to fulfill that calling if you do not understand your own system of advantage? The kingdom of this world understand their own power system. And they understand, they know how to engage it. But most times we see believers, they're just believers and they don't know anything about their own power system. Some know, but they are not doing anything about it. They are not doing anything to engage this system to their advantage. Hallelujah. Because listen, do you know that you can be in the world and you are in the church at the same time, but you are trying to function according to the system of the world? Let me give more explanation. It's like being a believer and trying to get things done through the power systems of the world. It won't work. And you see, this thing we're talking about, there's no middle ground. There's no middle ground. Except your vision is for you, your family. That's a selfish vision. Hallelujah. But if you're having plans to reach out to the world, to reach out to the systems of the world, a time will come where you will know that you will need to engage these kingdom power systems. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's important to dominate. You see that dominion mandate in Genesis, right? It's impossible without engaging this kingdom power system. It's impossible. How do you want to do it? How do you want to take over the systems of this world? How do you want to take over your world, your ethnos, without engaging the kingdom power system? It's impossible. Do you know there are certain cadre you cannot rise to without bowing to a system? Without bowing to a power or to a principality. Yes. And pastor has been giving us instances upon instances how that he had a friend in oil and gas, and the guy said the forces that came for him, why? He was trying to rise. But imagine he doesn't know how to engage the power systems that we have. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, Jesus says something in one of the parables in Luke chapter 16, verse 8. You can project it. He said, the sons or the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Why? Why are they wiser? It's because they have mastered their system. Glory to God. Yes, they know how it works. And they know how to engage it to produce results. But see, so you can't be a believer and we're talking about kingdom pastors and I said, oh, all these things are for pastors. No. It's for the everyday believer. Hallelujah. So you must make up your mind. I want to master this system. I want to understand what this system is all about. And do you know that the platform God has given you right now or the assignment you have is a platform for carrying out the vision, for carrying out witnessing, for carrying out the propagation of this gospel. In this ministry, we like saying everybody is called. It's just that the pulpit is different. Some are called to the fivefold ministry. Others are called to the marketplace. So your calling there is a platform for carrying out evangelism. It's a platform for carrying out kingdom advancement. Hallelujah. It is. So the next question, how do you want to carry out this advancement without supernatural power? How? Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Jesus told the disciples, he said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses. You shall be my witnesses. You shall be witnesses. Meaning the essence or the reason for the power is to provide witness. That's the reason. So for you to witness effectively as a believer, you need to engage the kingdom power system. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Are you with me? So you must understand. Pay attention. Pastor talked about revelation knowledge. Pay attention to revelation knowledge. He spoke about prophecy. Pay attention to prophecy. Now we're going to talk about kingdom service. Kingdom service. Now, once people in church most times hear the word service, the first thing they think about is how to become an usher in church or how to come and be cleaning. Okay? Now, it's part of service. But you see, there's service in God's house and there's service outside God's house. They are all kingdom service. Hallelujah. They are all kingdom service. My Smuro said something. He said, the shortest call to greatness is service. 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 You want to become great? Serve. That's the shortest call to greatness. Martin Luther King Jr. says something. He said, everyone can be great because anyone can serve. So greatness is available for everybody, but the requirement is service. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I hope you are writing. Amen. The requirement is service. You don't need to be a pastor to serve. You don't need to be a professor to serve. You don't need to have all the knowledge to serve. It's a principle. What do you need? Simply, you need a heart of love, a heart that is full of grace. Because service has a disposition. It has a disposition. And that is a heart of love, a heart that is full of grace. Because you know you are called and you know the platform you have right now is a platform for carrying that vision. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you following me? Everyone can be great. What do we see now in church? People are trying to find alternatives. They are trying to create other systems. They are trying to find, okay, I think I can get this thing done without involving myself in church. Okay, let me just be a church guest. You know what I mean by a church guest? You come, you get blessed. Before you know, you have tissued. You know what I mean? You know what we mean by tissue, right? You have disappeared, okay? A lot of believers are there. They are not engaging themselves in service. Hallelujah. Are you following me this evening? Kingdom service. Kingdom service is one of the major requirements for greatness. It's a core requirement. You want to be great? Serve. So what's the disposition? A heart that is full of grace. A heart that is full of love. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you getting blessed? Glory to God. Let's go to Mark chapter 4, chapter 10, verse 43. Let's look into the scriptures. Hallelujah. So you need a heart of grace, a heart of love to serve. You need a soul that is generated by love to serve. Now, Jesus says something. Mark chapter 10, verse 43 to 45. I need the scripture projected. I want everybody to look at it. Mark chapter 10, verse 43 to 45. If you have the NIV, just put the NIV. Hallelujah. I want us to read together. We are reading from verse 43 to 45. Are we together? All right, can we read? One, two, go. Not so with you. Instead, yes, whoever wants to become great among you, must be your servant. Must be your servant. Next verse. And whoever wants to be first must be what? Slave of all, servant of all. Next verse. For even yes, did not come to be served, but what? But to serve. And to give his life as a ransom for many. Glory to God. Are you seeing the scripture there? He said, is there anyone among you that desire to be great? He said, let him be your servant. Clear. If you read the context of the story, it was James and John that came and met Jesus, and then they were making a demand that, please, will he grant them to sit, one to sit at his right hand and the other one to sit at the left hand in the throne of grace? Jesus said, this thing you are asking. He said, are you ready to suffer? Are you ready to go through what I'm about to go through? And they say, yes, and the rest. But he now gave them this secret. He spoke to the entire disciples. He said, if anyone desires to be great, he must be the servant of all. Hallelujah. And he said something significant there, that even Jesus himself said, I did not come to be served, but I came to serve. Jesus came to serve, and that service took him to the cross. He died even because of service. Hallelujah. So serve. Serve. Now let me explain what the word servant there means. One of the synonyms is an attendant. That's what it means to serve there. An attendant. You know what an attendant is, right? You know who a waiter is. That's what it means. That's the word for service there. Or for servant there. A waiter, an attendant. It also means to run errand. To run errand. Now, of course, other meanings are ministers, teachers, pastors. That's the same meaning for the word servant there. Hallelujah. In short, in most translations, you see anyone that wants to be great must first be your minister. Glory to God. So the question, have you heard believers saying, that church, they will use you and use you and use you and dump you? So God is saying, if you want to be great, allow me to use you. Come and run errand for me. Come and be a servant. Come and be an attendant. I see in this generation right now is one of the issues or challenges that we have. People shun anything that looks like service. Why? Because their perspective is skewed. Their perspective is terrible. What they see service as is service unto man. They are not seeing service in God's house unto God. So, coming to church, they say, Pastor, before Pastor will say this or say that, and they begin to do what we call eye service. You've heard of the word eye service, right? Yes. They serve when they are under supervision. And they abscond when there's no supervision. That's eye service. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you following me so far? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. We have been called to serve. There's a calling to serve. And I want you to know this is one of those kingdom power systems that you can engage and it will produce results in your life. You can engage it and it will speak for you continually. You can engage it and you will see results in no time. This Apostle Paul, he said, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all. This Paul speaking, I've made myself a servant unto all that I may gain the more. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I have made myself a servant unto all, a minister unto all, an attendant unto all, an errand boy unto all, that I may gain the more. Hallelujah. You want to be great? Serve. It's one of the kingdom power systems. Hallelujah. It's one of those kingdom power systems. You must make up your mind. You say, anytime we keep talking about service, people think we're just calling, we just want to use people. Do you know that nobody can use you? You don't lose serving. Whether it's God, whether it's man, you don't lose. Because there's a reward for service. There's a reward for service. Are you with me? There's a reward. You don't lose. If you're a believer here, you think, okay, I did something, I did my best, they didn't recognize it, they didn't appreciate me, okay, something happened and the rest, you do not lose. You don't lose serving. You don't. You know the way you have a prayer altar or a prayer bank and you keep praying, you know the prayer is going to work for your future. You know, it's like storing prayer. That's how you can also, there's something called altar of service that speaks for people. It does. It does. It does. All right, you can write this down. What is kingdom service? Okay, let me just give a definition. Kingdom service. Any deliberate action you take in contributing to kingdom advancement, that is kingdom service. Write it down. Any deliberate attempt you take in contributing to kingdom advancement, that is service. You can also write, anything you do for the advantage of God's kingdom, that is service. Anything you do for the propagation of the gospel, that is service. Anything you do that leads to the spread of the influence of the kingdom of God, that is service. So we must trace everything to kingdom advancement. Hallelujah. We must trace it. If what you are doing, whether it's in the house of the Lord or outside in the world system, does it translate to the advancement of God's kingdom? If yes, that is service. Hallelujah. So meaning you can serve in God's house, you can serve outside God's house. And you see, I love what Pastor usually say. He said, in God's house, there are no inferior roles. I'm preaching to you right now. I'm no more important than the person that is cleaning. The most important thing is, am I faithful doing what I'm supposed to do? Am I consistent doing what I'm supposed to do? Is my heart right before God? That's what God looks at. That's why I'm saying the disposition of service is a heart of love, is a heart that is full of grace. That's the disposition. No inferior roles. But see, what believers, especially there's this issue, okay, if you're always on mic, they think, okay, you're the ones doing the things. No. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So anything you do, deliberate action, it is deliberate, it is intentional in advancing the kingdom of God. Somebody will ask, okay, that means I don't necessarily need to serve in God's house. I can be doing my thing in my secular world. That's where you're lying. Because what gives credit to what you do out there is what you do inside here. It's your partnership with the vision of the local church. Because when we talk about kingdom advancement, what do we mean by kingdom advancement? Kingdom advancement, it means you have to be part of a local church. Because each local church has a vision God has given to them. And fulfillment of that vision is kingdom advancement. So kingdom advancement in this context, it means you being part of what God is doing in a system. You being part of what God is doing in a church, in a gathering. Meaning you are contributing to the fulfillment of that vision. When you do that, you are advancing God's kingdom. Are you following? Are you getting me so far? Yes. So meaning you cannot be too busy to serve. You can't. Now we know there are people that have taken things to the extreme. Okay, they've treated people anyhow, and the rest, but it doesn't change anything because nobody loses serving. You don't. Nobody loses by serving. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you following me so far? Nobody rises without service. You know, I've seen believers that they were in church, they were committed. You know, you could see their passion for the things of God. They were engaging in church activities, okay, with their time, with their talent, with their treasures, and everything. But something happened. Small result. You know, by small result, we can't see them again. They become church guests. There's a pride they carry. That's a terrible place to be. Listen, don't trust anybody that doesn't have track record of service. Don't trust anybody. Don't bring yourself under any leadership that does not have a track record of service. I'm telling you, that's a dangerous place to be. So I say leaders are processed in the school of service. You want to see a great leader? That person must have served and is still serving. Listen, where you are right now, there's an altar of service that brought you there. But you see, a lot of people are not intelligent. They are not. They are not wise. You see someone, okay, because, okay, I served in God's house. You know, I prayed, I gave, I did a lot of things, and God opened a door. You know what happens? They now neglected what they've done. And thinking, okay, we have arrived. The altar of service brought you there. Your future is not assured if you're not serving. Aye. Somebody did not get what I just said. Listen, you are where you are right now because service brought you there. Where you will be in the future is connected to what you are doing right now. Have you seen people that it's as if suddenly they are everywhere? They're in media. Suddenly it's as if they are the talk of the town. They are the talk of the nation. But give them time, they fade away. Most of them become disconnected from that altar of service. They stop serving. They think, I've arrived. There are ministries in this country where you have billionaires that will come to church on Saturday, pull everything, all the accomplishment and everything, and clean for service. Clean the church for service. But what I believe is that because the way they've been praying, God has been looking. This guy, if we give this guy 5 million right now, he will not come to church again. Or when he comes, he will come when pastor is about to go upstage. Even the way he walks will change. Everything will change. The disposition will change. God is looking at your heart. I'm telling you, God is looking at your heart. And that disposition is very important. Listen, service is not unto man. Even if it looks like you are serving a man, it's actually God you're serving. It is. And there's a reward for it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 13, verse 36. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. My time is moving very fast. Acts chapter 13, verse 36. Now, this is Apostle Paul giving an exhortation in Antioch about the gospel. And he was talking about David. Talking about David, I'm going to look at the life of David. He said, 13 verse 36, he said, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. Hallelujah. David served his own generation. So the question is, are you serving your own generation? What are you doing that will affect your generation? He said, David served his own generation by the will of God. By the will of God. By the will of God. Meaning he did not serve according to his own terms. You hear us saying it all the time. You cannot serve God according to your own terms. You serve him according to his will. Write it down. You don't serve God according to your terms. You serve him according to his will. You serve him according to his principle. Because if you're going to serve him according to your own will, that means you serve him based on convenience. You serve him when it is okay, when you feel good. You refuse to serve when you don't feel good. Meaning you'll be waiting for motivation all the time. And you'll be waiting to be supervised, and you'll be waiting to be cajoled to serve. Hallelujah. David served his generation. No wonder God chose him. He was tending the sheep of his father, and he was running around. This guy was running around. David was like an attendant in his family. Hope you know. When Samuel came to anoint one of the sons of Jesse, David was not there. For me, I felt he wasn't even regarded as one of the sons of Jesse. He was looked down upon. Well, see, he was like the errand boy. You see, and I don't want you to have this mindset that we see out here in Africa, especially in politics and the rest, where if you are in a position, it's an opportunity to lord it over people. It's an opportunity to give command. You, go there. You, do this one. You know, people like that thing. It's as if there's this self-importance that it gives you. That's terrible. David was the errand boy in the house. He was the servant. He served his father. He served his elder brothers. He served them. And you see, one thing stood for me here. God looked at his heart. Why would God call David a man after my own heart if he didn't look at his heart? Remember when Samuel was about to anoint Eliab, the eldest son, looking at his physical appearance. Oh, this guy is tall as Saul. He'll be able to go for battles and the rest. Because that's one of the criteria God used to choose Saul. If you remember, Saul was very tall, taller than almost everybody. So Samuel thought, this guy, surely the anointing of God is upon him. And God spoke to him and said, I do not look as man looks. Man looks at the outward appearance. I look at the heart. The heart. And God said, for I have rejected him. Meaning God considered him. Anytime I think about it, I say, are there areas of your life that God will look and see the disposition of your heart? Are there areas God is thinking about lifting you and you've been rejected because of your heart? Because God is saying, Kai, can I trust this person? No. So God looked at his heart and said, Kai, I cannot trust this person to lead my people. So I'm saying it again, the disposition of service is a heart of love. A heart that is full of grace. Hallelujah. No wonder God chose him and called him a man after my own heart. Do you know that after David was anointed, God still sent him back to the wilderness to take care of the sheep? A man that was anointed. Do you know that God still sent him to the palace to serve Saul? Even some of us in this generation, after oil has landed, that's all. Ministry has started. Oil has landed, we have arrived. So imagine a major prophet, imagine you being anointed in the midst of your brethren as king, then going back to the palace to go and serve. What a disposition of service. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm telling you that this is a kingdom power system and it works for us. Some of us have been serving and serving and serving, and we know that our future is assured. Let me give it an example, or let me do a comparison. Compare someone that, okay, just comes to church, is not involved, gets blessed, and leaves, and compare with someone that comes, serves with money, serves with time, serves in prayer. Can you compare the outcome of their lives? You can't. The other may look like he's producing results now, but give us time. Give us time. Hallelujah. Are you getting something this evening? Psalm 78, verse 70 to 72. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Say this, I am called to serve. I am called to serve. Say it again like you mean it. I am called to serve. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, the scripture saying, he said, he chose David also his servant and took him from the sheepfold. He chose him. He chose him. David was faithful in discharging his duties. He was faithful in leading the sheepfold. He was faithful. God looked at his heart and chose him. This will be the leader of my people. Psalm 20 says, from following the ewes, or somebody will say the ewes is the ewes, okay? From following the ewes, great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. Hallelujah. Next verse. So he fed them, he served them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. He served them. Glory to God. So God looked at his track record of service and chose him. You cannot be too busy to serve. You cannot wait for convenience to serve. In the marketplace there, in the sphere where God has placed you there, are you serving or you are leading? Are you serving or you are just giving commands here and there? Do you know that in the earthly work of Jesus, when you came, you could not differentiate who Jesus was from his disciples. You couldn't. When they came to arrest him, they didn't know who was Jesus. That means he had a disposition of service. And we read the scripture. It said, I did not come so that you can serve me. I came to serve. That should be your disposition. You're working in an IT firm, in the secular world. That should be your disposition. What am I offering? Am I serving here? Am I deploying? Am I ministering here? Is somebody getting value here? Glory to God. And I'll be more particular about service in God's house. Because that's why a lot of people have neglected. Because if your heart is not in a vision, how are you going to serve out there? How? How? God is looking at your heart. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let me say this. You don't serve God according to your terms, but according to his will. Hallelujah. You don't serve God because it is convenient or not. No. Most times, service and sacrifice go together. Hallelujah. Service and sacrifice always go together. Glory to God. Let me rush. The degree of authority you wield in this world is directly connected to the degree of service. It's connected to your altar of service. The man of God said this. You are sensing that God is calling you. And the first thing to do is not to go and start a ministry. It's to go and look for a place to serve. Why do you think we said if you are looking for a job, you're not doing anything? Why do you think we say you should go and volunteer in a place? It is a law that when you engage that law, the outcome is predictable. It is. So go and volunteer. You are here, you say, no, God gave me vision. I'm supposed to start a business. Now you have not started a business. What are you doing? Where are you serving? What are you doing? Okay, no work, no money, nothing. What can you do? You can come and serve in God's house. You can use your time because it's available to you. Hallelujah. You can. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, service. Because there's such thing as the service test. God will test you. There's a test of service. He will test to see the disposition of your heart. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you getting blessed this evening? Hallelujah. So we'll look at areas of service. Areas that you can serve. I'll just list some and then we'll round up and we'll pray. Hallelujah. Areas of service. Listen, no, nobody rises by mistake. If you rise, there's a system that you must engage. If you do not engage any system, that rising is limited. Your impact and your influence is limited. So for you to be great in life, to have what we call enduring relevance, there must be an altar of service that is speaking for you. I am telling you, there must be an altar of service that speaks for you. Even as leaders, do you know this message right now I'm preaching to you? Do you know I'm serving you? I am ministering to you. It's a service. Service. Let me tell you, if you're in a place where it looks like you are the one doing all the work, you are blessed too. I am telling you, you are blessed. You don't know what is happening to you. It's as if, okay, everybody just think, no, they want to get the work. You know, there are people that know how to dodge responsibility. They know how to dodge certain things. But there are people, it's as if they are the ones that the work is always coming upon. You are blessed if you are that person. You are. You are. Look at gospel artists, or gospel musicians, for example. In the Middle Belt here, especially in Jose, we have a lot of creative, we have a lot of people that are good artists, that are good with singing, but how many of them are known on the global scale? How many? Some are angry. They left church. They said, church did not try. They didn't treat us well and everything. You see, that mindset is a wrong mindset, because you are thinking that your service is unto man. You are waiting for man to pay you for the service, to reward you for the service. No. Look at all the musicians that we know right now. Nathaniel Bassey. All these guys have a track record of service. Sinat, they have track record of service. Dunsin, he has a track record of service. Trace it. These were guys that were this. They were spending, they were serving God. Serving God. Unapologetically serving God. Without apology. If you are still at that point where we need to call, beg you, okay, this is the vision. You know the church is blessing you. You know you are getting edified, your spiritual life is changing levels, and you are still waiting, okay, come, we want you to serve, we want you to do this. If you are still there, it means your pathway is still long. It's still far, especially if you want to do things God's way. Hallelujah. So choose your way. So number one, areas of service in prayer and intercession. Prayers and intercession. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In prayers and intercession. Hallelujah. Now, prayers and intercession is an act of service. It's an act of service. I will say, come for prayer. We had prayer stretch yesterday. 10 hours of word and prayer. And it was a stretch. Now, of course, we prayed for ourselves, but most of the prayers was intercessory prayers. That is service unto God. And in intercession, what do you do? You pray for the lost, for the unsaved to be saved. That is intercession. That is service. That is kingdom advancement. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. It says, if our gospel we hid, it is hid unto them in whom the God of this world has blinded their eyes. So when you pray and you're interceding for souls to be saved, for that veil to be removed, that is service. Glory to God. That is service. When you are praying for babes to become mature, Galatians chapter 4, verse 19 says, my little children, in whom again I travail in birth until Christ be formed in you. When you are praying for spiritual growth, you are praying for more fire for God's people, you are praying for maturity, that is service. Because the end game translates into kingdom advancement. Are you seeing the connection? That is service. That is service. When you are praying for your leaders, it is service. Whether you are spiritual leaders or political leaders, it is service unto God. You read 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. It says, first of all, prayer, supplication, intercession, thanksgiving made for all men. It says, for men in authority, for kings, and the rest. So it's a responsibility you take. So in the place of prayer, listen, oh Jesus, this secret I'm giving you changed our lives. That's what changed our lives. There was a season in our lives that, okay, school, strike upon strike upon strike. Okay, we're all in White House. All we knew then was to pray. And it wasn't selfish prayers. Most of the prayers were intercessory prayers. And our lives have changed. I told someone, prayer changed the configuration of my face. I was very ugly before now, but because of prayer, it rearranged my face and increased my value. Yes. You want to try it? Give it a try. Give it a try. You think your face is not arranged very well? Subject yourself to prayer. Intercessory prayer. And be looking at yourself at the mirror and see what will happen. Your face will begin to shine. Ayala Bados. You know that Jesus, when he was praying, that the fashion of his countenance was altered. Oh, somebody is not getting with us. Hallelujah. Service. Intercession. Glory to God. You can be praying directly for kingdom advancement, the spread of the gospel, influence. Look at Anna in the Bible. The scripture says she served God with fasting and prayers daily in the temple. With fastings and prayer. Glory to God. Hallelujah. My time is running. Let me run. So, prayer and intercession. Write it down. Number two, soul winning. When you go out there to win soul, that is service unto God. There's a reward for it. That is service unto God. You're not serving man. When we organize for outreach and say, come, let's go out. Let's win soul. It is service unto God. It is a system of advantage. It will speak for you. Glory to God. Number three, serving with your skill, talent, and time. Some of you, money you don't have now. Skills you don't have. But guess what? You have time. Why won't you use that time to serve? Why won't you dedicate, Lord, I'm going to dedicate 2 hours to God. Let me come to the office. What can we do? How can we push this gospel to the front line? Some of you, okay, yes, you don't have time, but you are talented. And we are looking for talents here. The first place to use your talent is in the house of God. You may not be receiving direct payment immediately. I have a labatosa. Do you think God owes any man? God cannot owe any man. If he wants to pay you, he's in arrears. He pulls them together. So serve him with your time. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 10. NIV project it. So volunteer. Use your skill. What can you use your skill to do? To propagate the gospel. What can you do to push the gospel? Engage. Chapter 4 verse 10. Serve. As I round up, hallelujah. He said each one of you should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. Use what you have. Use it to serve. Some of you out there, people are celebrating you. You can do this, you can do that. In God's house, we don't know you. We are not seeing the impact here. We are not feeling the impact here. So what can you do? Think. How can you use it to the advantage of God's kingdom? Hallelujah. You know, there was a story, I was watching a testimony online as a roundup of a frontline ministry. How a member of that ministry was kidnapped, and a lot of stories, a lot of issues, a lot of challenges where the place where they kept them, they kept threatening them, they should pay and plenty of things. And one thing led to the other, and the gang leader shot this guy that was a member of this church. He shot, nothing happened. To cut the long story short, let me tell you what happened. This guy was a member of one of their units. Here we call it Crystal Clear, those that clean the church and prepare for service. Guess what stopped the bullet? He had this tag. You know this tag, membership tag of a unit. Unit member tag. That's what stopped the bullet. He brought the evidence. So he brought the evidence to church to share the testimony. So while he was kidnapped, his altar of service was speaking. So my question, what if that tag was not there? How would he even get the tag if he was not a member of that unit? If he was not serving, how would he get the tag? The tag stopped the bullet, brother. He stopped the bullet. Somebody say service. I can't hear you. Somebody say service. Say this, I am given to service. Oh, I am given to service. Liba latosa. I will serve God willingly. Come on, say this. I refuse to serve grudgingly. Say this, I will serve with the whole of my heart. I will serve God willingly. Hallelujah. Lastly, serving God with your finances. Rise to your feet. As I round up, rise to your feet. Listen, Liba latosa. The proof that your heart is in a vision is that your money must be there. Your money must be there because your money is a measure of your time. It's your measure of your energy. The proof that your heart is in a vision, the proof that you love God is that your resources will go into the gospel. And there's a vision in this house. Is your money speaking? Is your money part of that vision? That's the question I'm asking you. The scripture says you cannot serve God and mammon. You can't. So the best way to conquer mammon is to bring it and serve God with it. That's the best way. serving the Lord with your finances. We're making call, okay, we're raising this, we're doing a building project, we're doing evangelism outreach, we're doing a campaign, so, so and so. Okay, we need this, so, so. Listen, come to a point where you see service as a responsibility. See it as a responsibility. It's not a burden. Glory to God. It's not a burden. Because the solution as the altar of service, it will speak for you. It will speak for your future. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to give you 1 minute. Just pray in the Holy Ghost and let this word sink in. Let this word dive in. I want you to begin to reflect on your response. I want you to begin to reflect on your engagement of kingdom service. Are you serving in God's house? What is your disposition? What is your heart disposition about service? He said everyone should use that gift, that talent, that time to serve. He said David, after he has served, his generation slept. Oh, glory to God. Can we pray in the Holy Ghost in the next 30 seconds to 1 minute? Just pray in the Spirit. I am given to service. Oh, I am given to service in the name of the Lord Jesus. Yes, I realigned my mindset. I am given to service. Can we have the communion steward just come forward as we take the communion? Open your mouth and pray in the Spirit. Labatosa, I know the Lord has spoken to somebody. The Lord has realigned your thinking pattern. Lebaton soshkepa, labrando sabragaton soshkepalate, lapateton soshkepaya. Oh, glory to God. Barasushkibaya, lebendo sevregepalatus sabragata, lamando sobregepalatus andreshkepa, bondo sobregopalatosa. Hallelujah. We'll just go ahead to distribute the body and the blood. Hallelujah. When it comes to you, I want you to take it and you begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Let me share a scripture. Job chapter 36 verse 11. Okay. I don't have much time. Service, kingdom service is a topic that we can take series upon series upon series upon series upon series on kingdom service. Hallelujah. The scripture says, if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We can go ahead. Just go ahead and distribute the communion. Glory to God. When it comes to you, I want you to take the body and take the blood. Hallelujah. This is a token of the new covenant in the blood of Jesus. You're going to stand in that blood, and I want you to begin to prophesy. I want you to begin to speak into your life. Begin to reorganize your priorities. Some of you, your priorities are altered. You're not prioritizing God's kingdom first. That is the reason why you're not serving. You're going to pray in the Spirit. You're going to declare, Lord, I prioritize your kingdom in the name of the Lord Jesus. Open your mouth and pray in the Spirit. Mampatosa bragate, with the communion before you, le baratosa, we stand. Lapatos eshkepa, rapaton da zivikate, jedegebate lisoskepaladi, in the bando sobrekopaya, o shabagate. I stand on this blood of the new covenant.
Worship you today.
You can go ahead and take precious the communion. Once you take it, just begin to pray in the Spirit.
Jesus,
thank you, Spirit of God.
I thank you for your blood, precious Jesus.
Begin to speak words, begin to release words. Elebanda sabragatola barada, ezembreto shalaga mandrokoskete, elebaraton soshkele balatos. Jabakaton sombrego palatos, ilabate lembreke sozembrigo pa, labando shaga bandra gaskata. Rabatos and the Breke Palatosa in the Zebreke Poratosa and the Breke Palatosa Rabate Reke Palatosa. Come again, begin to declare and begin to speak God's word.
Worship you.
Montoso Breke Palatosa.
Hallelujah.
I worship you.
We're going to pray
today.
In the next 1 minute, and then we'll take our tithes and offering. Psalm 107, verse 23 and 24. Hallelujah. You know, the theme of this month is in the day.
Beloved, we know you've been blessed by God's word today. For more life-transforming messages like this, you can visit our website, library.gloryzoneglobal.org, and you can also follow us on our various social media platforms on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram at Glory Zone Church. Stay blessed.